Hey everyone, welcome to the Tribe Culture Life podcast, where our stories and our lives matter. I'm your host, Brittany Montgomery, and I invite you to listen in a few times a month as I chat about issues that we as members of the Black and POC communities face every day. I'll be sharing stories and perspectives that matter to you, from raising children to relationships, entrepreneurship, and traveling, and all aspects in between. If any of those topics interest you, you are definitely my tribe, and you are definitely in the right place. Hey, y'all. In today's episode, I'm chatting with Allison A. Robinson about maintaining your identity and finding your purpose outside of your role as a partner and or mother. Allison runs Hey Girl International, a really cool platform designed to inspire and empower young girls, and she does this from home while raising her four-year-old twin girls. If you are struggling with figuring out who you are outside of wifey or mom, and you want to create something for yourself, today's episode is dedicated to you, my friend. After the show, be sure to head to the show notes for more information about Allison and her amazing platform. And with that being said, let's get started. Hey, everyone. Welcome back to the Tribe Culture Life podcast. Today, I am speaking with Allison Robinson of Hey Girl International, which is this really cool online platform designed to empower and encourage and uplift young girls and women. Which, by the way, I was checking it out the other day, and I think it is super, super cool. We need so much more of that, especially for young women of color. So thank you for that contribution. It's really cool.
Thank you so much. This is definitely something that was birthed out of being a mom. It's something that was birthed. I was a teacher for 4.5 years. And so I really wanted to pursue something that I saw was a definite need. I taught in Baltimore City. I've taught in Hampton, Georgia, and I've also taught abroad. So that's something that across the board, I realized that young girls needed somebody somewhere to at least talk to them about the things that they're going through in their everyday life.
That's really cool. I didn't know you were a teacher. How long were you a teacher?
Only 4.5 years. So it wasn't too long. The thing about it was getting into education was really kind of a random type of situation because my husband was an education major at the time. And we decided to do Teach for America. And I always said when I was in high school and college, I said, I'll never be a teacher. I don't want to be stuck in the four walls of a classroom. Yet here I am, you know, 4.5 years, 5 years later. And that's all that I want to do now. So it was interesting how that worked out.
Yeah, I think that's really cool. So I was an education major for about 4 minutes in college. And then I realized, you know what? This isn't exactly for me. I think it just takes a really special person. It's really a work of love. So I think it definitely does. And I think it's really cool that you're not doing the traditional teaching thing, but you've still found a way to reach young minds and you're still doing a form of teaching. It's just kind of on your own terms, which I think is really neat.
Exactly. Out from underneath the educational biases and all types of things coming from the top down from people that don't understand. It's great to be from under it. Trust me.
Yeah, I can imagine. Well, today we are talking about seeking your identity outside of kind of the traditional roles of being a mom and being a partner. And Allison, you are a stay-at-home mom like me. So I thought you would be the perfect person to have this conversation. So once again, thank you for being here.
Oh, definitely. It was my pleasure.
Yeah. So I guess that kind of answers my first question was, did you start out kind of wanting to be, well, first of all, how old are your kids?
So I have twin girls and they are 4 years old, going on 14, going on 24. I mean, just think they own the house.
Yeah. Well, I have a 4-year-old too. I feel like they're probably like that across the board. They just kind of do their own thing, right?
They have to be.
I love it.
Yes, absolutely.
And so at what point did you decide to, or were you teaching before you had the girls, or what did that journey look like making that transition to doing the stay-at-home thing?
So I got pregnant in my second year of teaching and we found out it was twins, I think the second visit that we had. And so we were in a position where we weren't living around family at the time. And so the biggest thing that we could do, the biggest decision that we could make at that time was really either to stay at home or have to trust them in the hands of someone that we really weren't familiar with. And so we kind of made the decision for me to stay at home and be with the girls for at least a year. My husband will tell you that wasn't the decision that we were supposed to make, but it just kind of ended up being that way. So we made that decision. I stayed at home with the girls for a year. Then, you know, in that transition of, and I know we'll talk about that deeper in this conversation, but in the midst of being at home with the girls, because I'm an extrovert, because I don't always like to be cooped up, so, you know, I'm kind of suffering a little bit during quarantine. But during that journey, I wanted to find something that would kind of shake me a little bit, because I don't like to feel stagnant. I don't like to feel like things are becoming mundane and repetitive. And so I started to look up other teaching jobs. I said, you know, if I have to go back to teaching, I wanted to be in an area or in a position where I would really thoroughly enjoy it, and came across an article of a single mom with three kids living in the UAE that was having the time of her life. Her kids were having a great experience. And I said, you know what? I think we should do this. And so transition with one-year-olds across the world, 16-hour flight to go and teach abroad for 2 years was definitely the jolt I needed.
That is amazing. And now, when you were abroad for those 2 years, did you hop around from country to country, or did you stay in one place?
We stayed in one place. We would have loved to travel. We wanted to stay for 3 years, but things kind of got shaky a little bit during that second year. So we decided to leave. But we stayed so that we could stay focused on our goal, which was ultimately to pay off debt. So we ended up paying off over $20,000 worth of debt while we were there. So that was also a plus, for sure.
Yeah. That's awesome. That's no small feat.
Yeah, definitely not. Now, I wanted to travel, but my husband said, we have a goal we have to meet. There's a reason we came over here. I said, okay. So yeah, it's definitely paid off since we've been back. We have no credit cards. The only debt that we have is student loans and our cars now. So it's definitely a blessing.
Oh, that is beautiful. That's awesome. Very, very cool. And now, you mentioned quarantine. So by the time this airs, I am hopeful that things will be a little bit better. But of course, we really have no idea. So at this point in December, how has it been for you, just kind of juggling everything, being at home with your babies and then everything with your blog and your online platform? How has that been, and how do you get it all done?
It's been a struggle. I will not lie to you. I'll be completely transparent. Before quarantine hit, I actually left my last teaching job. There was a lot of chaos and craziness going on where I was teaching in Hampton, Georgia. And so I decided to step away. And we were just putting our daughters in daycare for the first time. They were three at the time. Mm-hmm. We were just putting them in daycare. And so I was going to have time to myself. My husband was working from home, but he was working from at least 7 a.m. to about 3 p.m. And so I was going to have the days to myself. I was excited. I started up my podcast at the time. So I was ready. And within a week, they got sick. I think it was the first 2 days I was able to be home by myself. They got sick. And so we had to keep them at home. And as soon as they got better, quarantine hit. And so from that moment on, I have not had a for real, true day of complete freedom, except for one time I had like a staycation where I stayed in a little hotel, maybe 20 minutes from the house. Mm-hmm. But from that moment until that staycation, I have not had a break.
Oh, my God.
And so with trying to juggle everything, my husband and I, we take shifts. So some mornings he'll take the girls. Some mornings I'll take them. Some nights he'll put them to bed. Some nights I'll put them to bed. And so we really had to come up with some type of schedule to give each other a break, because being with them 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, not only are they tired of us, but we're getting to the point where like, can we put you in school? And I understand some parents, I know people are upset with some parents because they say, why would you want to send your kids to school? They can get sick. But as a parent, you ride that line of trying to make the best decision for your children, but also making the best decision for yourself. And if there are any listeners out there that have made the decision to send their kids to school, don't feel any type of judgment about it. Don't feel bad about it. Don't feel shame around it. There's a reason that some parents have sent their kids to school, and I can say I completely understand why. It has definitely been something I have toiled with back and forth, trying to decide if I wanted to send them back to school or keep them here at home. Because even as a teacher, you know, I taught fourth and fifth grade.
Right.
Like teaching pre-kindergartners is a totally different ballgame. And as much as people say, oh, you were a teacher, this will be easy, it is no easy feat to have to tend to their needs, making sure that they're learning what they should be learning, but then at the same time, trying to make sure that everything you want to do is taken care of. And the benefit of having somebody that's in the home with you that understands and says, you know, I'll take them for the hour that you're doing, you know, the podcast interview, I'll take you for the hour that you want to work on your business. But even at the same time, being able to basically be an octopus at different times of the day where I may be working on a certain project, but they're sitting on my lap because they want mommy. And I've always tried to make sure that they didn't see that my business came before them. I read the book by Shonda Rhimes, The Year of the Yes. And there was a part in there where she talked about her adopted daughters at the time. And she said that there was a time where she had an award show or something. It would be right before she was leaving. And one of her daughters would say, "Mommy, can you come and play with me?" And she started to tell them, and she would have to tell them no. And they were very sad at the time. But in her year of the yes, what she decided was, if she didn't care if she was in an expensive gown, she didn't care if she was on her way out the door, if her daughter approached her and said, "I would like for you to play with me," she sat down in that expensive dress and she played with her daughter. And that's something that stuck with me, because I want my daughters to understand what entrepreneurship looks like, that there's a balance, that they don't have to be divided between family time and between entrepreneurship time and working your business. They can still be involved, but also cultivating that entrepreneurship in them, that they understand what it looks like to be entrepreneur, that they see what it's like when you start to build from the ground up, that they're there. Journey. That was very early on.
Right. I love that. And I still have to read that book. I've heard so many good things about it, but I love that we try to do that with ours. So Aria's 4, Luna's 2, and then we have an 8-month-old who was born literally right before the shutdown. Like, we brought him home and then the world fell apart. So, you know, he was 3 weeks early. And so we always say, like, both of my kids were born at like 39 and some change. And so here he comes at 37 weeks. And I always feel like God knew what he was doing, because 3 weeks later, my husband would not have been able to be at the hospital with us. And it was just, and even with that, we're just beginning to hear the rumblings of COVID. And so I'm like, well, should you be here? Should you not? So it was just a whole crazy thing. But that's like a whole different combo. But but yeah, I love that you've brought that. Yes, yes. I love that you've brought that up, though, just kind of juggling that balance. I feel like an everyday struggle, right? Just trying to make sure you give the attention that is needed to your business, but also make sure your children still feel like they come, they know that they come first. And if they need you, you can be there for them.
Exactly, exactly. And it's a hard balance. It's not something that's easy. There are times, I have twins, so if one of them wants mommy, both of them want mommy.
Oh yeah.
And so there are times where I'm really trying to squeeze through the middle just to touch my mouse to organize something, because they want to show mommy something. And, you know, this is not something that I allow them to do all day long. But if I know I've spent maybe an hour or two straight on my business, I will allow them to come and sit in my lap, because there are times that they need their love tank filled. And I have nothing against inviting them into that space. Now, it can be frustrating. There may be a few times where I have to say, okay, get down and just stand by mommy. But at the same time, I still want them to know they come first, but I also need that time for my business as well.
Right. Absolutely. Yes to all of that. And so what does a typical day look like for you? Do you try to compartmentalize, like, okay, these couple of hours, these are just for the girls, and then these couple of hours, this is what I'm going to be working on, like my passion products or projects, or how does that work for you?
So for me, it's my morning. I'll get up with them after they wake up and after I wake up. We spend a few minutes in the morning talking about if they had any dreams or talking about what they want to do for the day. We get up, and while they're eating breakfast, maybe they're watching a show and I'm checking emails, or I'm working on my website or making a list of things that I want to do for the day. And then just recently, I really started to get in a routine of having them do a circle time. So there's a woman on YouTube. Her name is Monica. Miss Monica. And so she does a circle time with the kids every day. And she talks about the days of the week and the shapes. And so I try to sit with them while they're doing the circle time with Miss Monica. It's only about 20 minutes. And then I help them practice with their writing and with their sounds and with their colors. And then I kind of give them, you know, a little bit of free rein. They have a small area downstairs in the living room. And so I kind of work it on my business while trying to monitor them at the same time as they're playing, as they're still doing some of their learning. And so it's kind of like a balance between, okay, if you don't need mommy, if you're okay playing with the toys, I'm going to go over here and work on my laptop. Okay, if you do need mommy, come stand right here. I'm able to poke a hole in your juice for your straw while I'm in the middle of trying to finish this email. Or if you know, if you hurt yourself or you or sister get into a fight, I'm able to pull away for a few minutes to fix the fight, make sure they apologize, make sure they're hugging each other, make sure they're saying I love you. and then send them back on their way. So it's really, the whole day is a balance between the two. Yeah. And then what I've had to come to realize, which is very hard, is that nap time is almost null and void now. And so it's really just a few hours of telling them, go lay down, stop talking, stop playing with sister, go lay down. So in the middle of me telling them to go lay down, I'm still trying to work on whatever I was supposed to finish earlier. And then after four, they come back downstairs and still a balance. Sometimes they have their tablet or they'll watch a movie or something on you that they like that I'm monitoring while they're watching it. And then we have dinner. And after that, they go to bed. They're put in the bed at 7:30. Mm-hmm. The time they go to sleep, however, is anywhere between 8 and 9 p.m. But while they're doing that, I'm finishing up the task for the day.
Hey, y'all. So if you're listening to this episode, I know you're my tribe, and I'm 100% sure you're as passionate about supporting Black and POC-owned businesses as I am. Have you ever gone to purchase something or look for a service provider and had to jump on the Googler or wade through Facebook groups filled with spam and unrelated ads to find what you're looking for? Well, I created the Black-owned Spotlight Group to help alleviate some of that drama. Join our community where customers just like you shout out their favorite Black and POC-owned businesses with real reviews and positive experiences. Find what you're looking for through a quick search or shout out your own favorite Black or POC-owned business. Word of mouth is still huge for lots of small businesses. They need our help now more than ever, and a quick shout out is a great way to help ensure they'll be around for years to come. Ready to join us? Go to alldaybrittany.com/black-owned-spotlight for more info. And now, back to the show. So listening to you chat so far, it seems like it's been an ongoing process, just trying to find that identity outside of being a mom and being a partner and all of that. So specifically, what has that looked like for you? And do you feel like it's still going on?
I think with motherhood, it's always an ongoing journey of trying to find that balance between who I am outside of being a mother. Because I think sometimes the way the society has set it up, it's like, you're a mom, I'm going to keep you in that position and that box. If you do things outside of it, it's nice, but that's always who you're going to be. That's always what I'm going to identify you as. And so for me, the first few months of the girls being born, I kind of fell into that. And I think it's almost natural for a mom to do that. Those first few months, you're just kind of all about the baby, trying to understand what it looks like to be a mother. You know, we don't leave the hospital with a book of directions. We don't leave the hospital with a book of instructions. And so those first few months is literally a guessing game, a Googling game, a calling on people, you know, that have had children before you game, stalking your mom, figuring out if she can help you out during that time. And so when things finally started to settle down from that initial shock of motherhood, where I wasn't a zombie, the girls were feeding at the same time, napping at the same time, I actually started to have some more moments to myself. And I'll never forget, it was about 3 months in after the girls were born, they were taking a nap. And I remember walking into my living room at the time and literally asking myself out loud, okay, who am I again? Because you just lose yourself in trying to understand what it means to be a mom. And then you have this moment of coming to self where you're saying, okay, have I really just put all of myself in this? Or is there still a piece of me that exists? Has it completely taken over my identity to the point that I can't see myself without this role? I can't see myself going beyond this role. And I think that as a mom, you just take on that mentality, if you're not careful, to where you're really moving out of this place of, I'm a mother and I have these dreams, but I have to be a mom first. And it's almost going against the grain to say you can be a mother. That is your role. That's something that you do, but it's not the totality of who you are. And I can remember a time, even with my own mother, I feel as if, and I love her and we're building our new relationship now that I'm a mom, now that I'm older and married, we're building our new relationship at the time. But one thing that I noticed was that she engulfed herself in being a mother. She really gave her all to becoming a mother, to the point that she did put her dreams on hold. And there was a time where she wanted to move to another state to partake in what she believed she was called to be a minister at the time. And so it was something that I didn't necessarily agree with for, you know, personal reasons, financial reasons. My father was sick at the time, and so I wasn't willing to go. And there was a moment in the car where we were having a discussion. It was like every day, the summer that she wanted to move, we would have this discussion in the car.
And she said to me one day, she asked me a question. She said, so you don't think I should move? And I said, no, I don't think it's the best move right now for us as a family. And she said, I'm tired of giving up my dreams for you all. And when I heard her say that, I won't lie, it took me a few years to deal with it. It took me a few years to bring that back up to her. Because in that moment, now stepping back as a mother myself and having children myself, it took me a minute to understand that when she took on the role of becoming a mother, she let that come first before anything else. And now looking back over her life, she was trying to find herself again. And I feel like there are some moms out there that there's a period of time they wait before they feel like they can really jump out there and be who they know they've been called to be. And they look back over their life and they find themselves frustrated because they gave up the totality of who they were because they were a mother. And if we're not careful, and I know Jada Pinkett Smith talked about this at one point, if you're not careful, you associate your happiness with your children. If you're not careful, you associate success with your children, even your own personal success. And so when they decide to go and do something that they choose to do, you're offended and you're upset because you feel as if they chose the path that you didn't want them to choose. Because if they go on that path, that doesn't look like success to you. If they choose to go a certain way or make certain choices, that doesn't bring you joy, that doesn't bring you happiness. You're angry with them because you put all of your happiness and all of your joy in them. And so I had to make the decision early that, yes, I am a mother. That is something that I do, but it is not the totality of who I am. Whether I had children at the age I had children or I did not, whatever God called me to do, He is still calling me to do it. And I cannot put what God has called me to do on hold because I had children. Because the thing is, when God called me, even before I was in my mother's womb, He knew I would have kids. He knew I would have children. He knew that I would become a mother. And so because He knew all of that, when He brought children into my life, that didn't mean that He took the call off my life. That didn't mean that my identity changed when children came along. He just knew that I had the capacity and the ability to be able to carry out both in the earth. And so I had to make the decision early that, yes, I am a mother, but there is still a call on my life. Yes, I am a mother, but I can bring my children along on this journey with me. It does not have to be separate. And it's a hard decision to make because children, they always need their mothers, even beyond 18, even beyond 20, even beyond 30. They still need their mother, but they also need to see that it doesn't stop just because I'm here. They need to see that my mom didn't be everything she was supposed to be, and it's my fault. They need to see that you can do both and.
I love that. You know, I've always heard the saying, you can't pour from an empty cup. And, you know, I think you hear that when they're talking about take a shower, eat something, right. Drink a cup, drink some water. Like, come on now. But I think it's also important. Yeah, I think it's also important for pursuing your passions as well. If you are unfulfilled or like you said, your kind of whole reason for being is tied to your children, I think sometimes it can be hard to really be the best mom that you can be because you're not embracing your whole self. You're not able to be the whole person that, like you said, God meant you to be. So thank you for telling us that story. That's really important to acknowledge.
Yeah, no problem. It gets to be hard. And I think that it's all, like I said at the beginning of what I was saying, it's almost like society is trying to tell us, oh, you're a mom. And focus on being a mom. Only be a mom. Your kids are calling. Be a mom. Oh, you're supposed to travel and speak. Where are your kids? Oh, you're supposed to be a CEO. Where are your kids? Oh, you're supposed to be the vice president of the United States. Where are your kids? And that's always the question. But it's never people looking inside and saying, wow, she's doing both and. While she's taking care of herself, she's taking care of her children, but she's also making her dreams come true. And I don't think we really take into account what that shows our children. Say that my life is engulfed around you, and it almost gives them permission to ask whatever they want of us. It almost gives them permission to take advantage of us because we're saying my life is yours, but my life is not yours. My life is God's. And He called me before you were here. He's calling me after you're here, and it is my responsibility to stay true to that and take you along for the ride because, you know, I have daughters. One day you're going to have to make the same choice. And I want to be that example that shows you, even beyond being a mother, even being a wife, I could still be a wife and still pursue the things that God has called me to do. It's not, I have to choose one. And I feel like the world tries to make you choose one. And then once that one is gone, then you can choose another. No, I can choose it all. I could choose to have it all because I can have access to that because I understand that who I am, the core of who I am, did not change when I became a mother. It elevated me to a new level. It gave me a new capacity to carry, but it did not limit who I was.
Absolutely. I love that. And what you say about society kind of expecting so much out of moms, and we just kind of expect, okay, you're a mom and that's it. That is so true. Like before I even had the podcast, I feel like the beginning of the thoughts of even having this conversation with someone, I was in a, because I feel like a lot of the content creators were all in these how-to groups, right? Like how to reach your audience and how to do this. And so I'm in a blogger group, a how-to blog. And this mom, she had kids about the same age as mine. And she was really struggling. And she was just, you know, I'm trying to find time to work on my blog. It was literally the same story. She had blogged like years ago and then recently gotten back into it. And it is like a whole different ballgame with like the SEO and the, all that stuff. So she was really struggling. And there were a few comments that were trying to commiserate, but I told my husband, I was so disappointed at all of the comments that were basically, well, maybe this just isn't your season. Maybe you just need to focus on your kids. Well, you know, maybe it's just not going to work out. And so, of course, I commented and I'm like, look, I don't know what the answer is, but I do know the answer is not just, okay, give up your dreams until your kids are older.
Yes.
Like, can you do it to the high power level? Like I'm going to blog 8 hours a day and I'm going to churn out these many pieces of content and all that stuff. No, you're not going to be able to do all that because you still got to be there for your babies. The answer is not just like, okay, don't do it. It's like, that's not good advice.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's why you have your different levels of moms where some moms are all in. I'm a stay-at-home mom. This is what I do. I'm even to the point where I'm making a living off of being a mom. And then you have other moms that are like you and I that are saying, no, don't stop. Keep going. You got to wake up in the middle of the night and work on it. Then we got to wake up in the middle of the night. But I'm not going to let my dreams die because I had children. Because what ends up happening, which a lot of moms don't want to talk about, is that you have that resentment and that you have that regret. And it ends up coming out on your children. And many moms won't talk about that. You know, you have moms that as they get older, they begin to lash out in different ways because there's a blame there of because you came along, I could not live. And that is a blame that's placed on children. And many of the children feel that, you know, even my mother said that the questions that begin to run through my mind are, well, I didn't ask to be here. Does she not want me to be here? Am I the reason she's not everything she's supposed to be? And having someone to come along and say, no, it was not your fault. That is a choice that your mother made. And moms don't want to hear that. Moms don't want to hear the reality of that. But I don't want to say it's a fault of your own, but if you put your everything into your children and give up on your dreams, you cannot blame your children for that. You cannot be upset when they decide to get older and make their own decisions. You have to still support them, even if it's going the opposite way of what you desired. But the thing is, when you understand that you walk in your identity, you also give them permission to do the same.
Yeah.
And so if I'm not stuck on, I want you to be this, and I did all of this for you, you should be doing this for me. When I'm not supporting that and I'm more focused in, come along with me on this journey, come along and watch mommy develop and who God called her to be. Then when my daughters begin to take their own path, I encourage them to do the same because I know what it feels like to do it.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think it's so important basically as a mom, just giving yourself the permission to just say, okay, what do I like? And we're not just talking about obviously business and a side hustle. All of that stuff is great. It's amazing. But also just pursuing anything that you're passionate about. Like if you want to, I don't know, learn how to play chess or paint or create in some other way, just giving yourself permission to figure out who you are outside of that is so important. And I think for some moms, like you said, it can be hard to do, but it's important for sure.
Yes, definitely. Definitely.
Do you feel like you struggled with that a little bit, especially when you got ready to start Hey Girl International? How was that?
It was a struggle because, like you said, you have to make those choices. Because once you decide to choose yourself and choose to still walk in your own identity, you know, next to motherhood, then you have to begin to make those choices. So if you are always telling them yes, if they're used to you always hold, and of course, that's what we do within the first year of them being born. We're always holding them. We're always kissing them. We're always there when they call us. And so then when you begin to pull away, there's still that need that's there, and you have to find other ways to fill that in. And you have to start allowing them to be independent on their own and teaching them how to be independent away from you. But it's a struggle. The mommy guilt definitely sets in from time to time. I will not lie. That mom guilt sometimes will set in. And if you are not careful, it will take you over. Even the staycation that I had last month, when I got there, my husband called me. I called him. He called me on FaceTime. And I was like, oh, I miss my babies. Oh, maybe I should call them again. I said, no, this time is for you. And you really have to be almost just, I'm trying to think of the word. You have to be very serious about when you're pursuing you and understanding you. And there was a conversation that I had on, there's the app Clubhouse. I don't know if you've heard of the app Clubhouse. There was a conversation I was having with them on there about self-love. And we were discussing how many times people have romanticized self-love. It's, oh, go stay at a hotel. Oh, go get some coffee. Oh, go and read a book. That's self-love. But self-love is also where you have to make the hard decisions to choose yourself. And saying, I choose myself over my children in this moment is such a tight, it's such a rough phrase to say, but it is something that is so necessary in the life of every mom, in the life of every wife, where you say, I'm choosing myself before my children. I'm choosing myself before my husband, because there are some things that I have to get right. There are some things that I have to do in order for me to, like we were saying at the beginning of the conversation, make sure my cup is overflowing so that when I pour into them and I pour love back into them, I don't end up empty. And if I'm continuing to pour into myself, if I'm continuing to choose myself first, then my children always get the best of me. But they can't get the best of me if I'm running on low. And so in those moments, I identify I am running on low. My children are not getting the best. I had to make myself choose me first. And I don't think that's really emphasized a lot. Like we say, okay, go get a cup of coffee, or okay, go for a walk. But no, what does it look like to actually choose? I'm going to work on my dream, not just go get a cup of coffee. I'm going to sit down. I'm going to either have my children go play a tablet by minute, go and stay with their father for 30 minutes, but I'm going to choose to not spend as much time with them, because the thing, they can see their field even if you're not around. And I think sometimes as moms, we take on the responsibility of, I own the field that should be filled. And that's not true. They have parent, they have another parent, they have grandparents. They have different television shows that continue to teach them and enrich them that you can find. There are millions of them on YouTube. But to allow something to fill their cup, you take time to get yours refilled, because you cannot keep pouring from that empty cup. It was hard. There were tears from them and from me to say, I'm choosing me in this moment, in me walking in what I believe God has called me to. I know I can be a better mother for you.
Absolutely. And you broke up just a little bit, but I think you said basically understanding that you are not the only source of fulfillment for your children. Their yes. dad or their other parent, there are the things, their own interests, because they are their own little humans. So
right.
right. Things that they're interested in.
Exactly. I would say, oh, I didn't know if this part broke up. I don't want to say it's an unnecessary burden, but it is in a way, or whatever their cup is. If you make yourself the sole provider, you have to take that responsibility.
Absolutely. Yeah, definitely. So for a mom or moms that are listening to this episode today, and they're like, okay, that's me. I have not figured out what I want to do outside of this, but I have no idea where to start. So what is your advice for them on taking the first steps to jump outside of that box and figure out who they are?
So what I would say is go back to who you were before children came along. What were your passions? What were your desires? If you pray, what were the things God has revealed to you in prayer? And I would start there and discover, are those your same passions? Are those the things that you want to change in the world to make the world a better place? One thing that I always emphasize to people I meet is that there is only one of you on the planet. There never has been another one of you, and there never will be another one of you. And so because of that, that means that when God created you, whatever he put on the inside of you, he knew would impact the world for such a time as this. You weren't born in another century. You weren't born in another decade. You were born for right now. And so there is something in you that's supposed to help change the world. And whether your kids are next to you, or whether you're waiting for them to go to school, they'll go off to first grade, second grade, whatever it is, that answer is still there. That answer was there when you were pregnant with them. That answer is still in there after you delivered them. So what is that answer? What is that passion that keeps you going every single day? When you turn on the television, what is it that creates this righteous anger in you where you say, there's something I want to do about that? Or when you're scrolling through Facebook or Instagram or TikTok, what are the videos that capture your attention? What are the things that you look at that and say, I feel as if I'm called to also partake in that or to also do that? Start there. Start making a list of your dreams and your desires again before children and even after children, because there's such a big period of time between the time we're pregnant and the time where things kind of start to settle in the home around that 3 month, 6 month period. For some people, maybe a year, which is perfectly fine. But whatever that span of time is, take that time and say, what are my new passions? What are my new desires? What are the things that get me going every single day outside of my children? And begin to research how you can start to take maybe baby steps if you're not ready to jump all the way in like I did. I flew halfway around the world to deal with that new mom and shake that loose. But if that's not you, begin to take those small steps every single day, whether it is you starting a blog, whether you go to the craft store by yourself and you begin to buy some materials and you wake up in the middle of the night and decide to pursue something. But take the step. Don't stay stuck. Understand that you were amazing before the baby came. You're amazing while the baby is here. Understand that you still have a calling on your life before the baby and after the baby. You have not changed. The core of you is still who you are, whether you are a mother or whether you were not.
I love that. That's beautiful. Thank you. Thank you so much. That's awesome. For me, I felt like you were talking specifically to me. So I know that moms listening out there are going to be like, yes, 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 yes. This is so cool. So thank you so much. Well, thank you. This has been such a great conversation. Tell our listeners how they can connect with you.
Yes. So they can follow me on Instagram at heygirl_isAllison. I'm currently doing something new, working with parents over on Allison A. Robinson at Instagram, but you can just follow me on heygirl_isAllison on Instagram for now and also on Facebook. But I would love to reach out and talk to some moms. At the beginning of the year, one thing I started this year that kind of died off, but I started a mom chats. And so I would work with moms. We would go on to have a live Zoom call every Sunday to kind of refresh ourselves. So I'm definitely going to start that back in the new year. So visit me on Instagram. If you want to drop me your email in my inbox while I'm getting my website and everything together, I would love to have moms on for us to have some great discussions like this and around just being yourself, getting through some of the challenges of motherhood and exchanging information. It was great when it was going on. So I'm excited for it.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, that's really, really cool. So we'll put all of your information in the show notes for everyone. And I will probably drop my email in too. I did one similar to that earlier this summer. Well, I guess now is the height of the pandemic, but we were still shut down. And it was so nice to talk to, especially now when you don't have as much contact with the outside world. So if you're listening that, yes, you're considering it, do it. You don't have to turn your camera on. You look crazy.
You don't. Yeah.
So do not let that
stop
you.
But if you do, right. But if you do, know you are in good company and yes, that if we all turn our camera on, it's something going on. So, and if your kids come in, it's all right too. That happened as well. We were doing mom chat. So there is no judgment at all, period. Just come. You need a refresher for the new week ahead. That is exactly what mom chats is for.
Yes, I love that. Well, thank you again, Allison, for being here or chatting with me. And yeah, that's all I have.
Great. Thank you so much for having me. It was great talking to you.
Hey, y'all. Thanks so much for listening to this week's episode. I hope you enjoyed it. If you're new here, join our tribe and hit that subscribe button. And be sure to come and find me on Instagram at itsbrittany24 and tell me what you thought of this week's episode. I value your opinions and your feedback, so feel free to leave a comment or shoot me a DM and let me know your thoughts. Until next time.